I was on the way over here with your wonderful pastor. How many glad you got a wonderful pastor? Yes, hallelujah. And I'm not from the South, I mean it. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm just not saying it to say it. I come from a Southern family, so I can get the Northerners mad and the Southerners mad, and I'll be glad. But anyhow, seriously, wonderful pastor, and he's talking to me, being friendly like he always is. And I'm kind of in another world trying to tap into what God has here tonight. Finally, on the way over, it was clarified, though I was praying a long time. Jerry will tell you I prayed a lot. Hallelujah. And I want us to start here because I want to say this. There's a principle we want to understand. The early church did great things, the leaders, because they had a great experience in God. And I want to emphasize that. To do something for God, we will to the proportion we experience God. And all activity comes out of relationship. You don't earn salvation by works, but works come out of salvation. Amen. And so here tonight, I want to go to 1 John. And I want us just three verses here, and we'll see where we go from here. It says, that which was from the beginning, which we've heard, which we've seen with our eyes, and we've looked upon, and our hands have handled the word of life. And the life was manifested. We've seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we've seen and heard, we declare unto you that you may have fellowship with us. Truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Christ Jesus. Look, verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we've heard, seen with our eyes, looked upon, our hands have handled the word of life. Here was the apostle that when he wrote the Gospel of John that bears his name, he was able to say under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, therefore he wasn't lying or exaggerating or being arrogant, but he called himself the beloved disciple. And of all the disciples Jesus had when he walked the earth in the flesh, John was the closest. And of the 12 apostles, he's the only one that died a normal death. Hallelujah. So something was there. But John would have unique experiences. They would exile him to a little tiny island in the Mediterranean, 12 miles long, 9 miles wide, Patmos. And he would have a visitation that has seldom been equaled, if ever equaled. And out of it, he wrote the revelation of Jesus Christ. Amen. And so John wasn't somebody who had a supernatural experience. And I want to say this. God wants to deliver us from superficiality. Now, I used to do a lot of driving, and I had a lot of accidents, so I don't do much driving. Hallelujah, because I'd get tired or be distracted. And I got a revelation, thou shalt not drive much. Hallelujah. But when I used to drive a lot, I would go through state after state, and I would hit, West Virginia and Virginia, and go down further. And throughout many of the southern states, you have hundreds, if not thousands, of churches. Amen? But you have a pagan society, and God wants to break that. By pagan, I mean people don't really know God, people don't really experience God, and people live a life contrary to God. Now, that's not condemnation, that's reality. You see, reality, we've got to know what we're up against so it can change. Amen? If you're in denial, there's not going to be any change. Amen? And so, with what we've got in southern states, and trust me, up north, they've got their own demons. Hallelujah. I just had to deal with them before I came here. I was in New York for a couple weeks. But we've got to know what type of battle we're up against. So the religious spirit in the South is very powerful. And the thing about religious spirits, they can use the scriptures to oppose the God who gave the scriptures. Just like the Jews, they knew where he's going to be born. They knew a lot of things, but they opposed everything they should have known because they had religion, not relationship. And that's about a religious spirit. Religious spirits hinder you from a real relationship with God and make you get on side issues. Now, I speak in tongues sometimes hours every day. I enjoy speaking in tongues. But I think it's tragic. Turn off whatever you got on, please. I think it's tragic that Pentecostal groups built their whole identity around speaking in tongues. You know why? God is love. I said, God is love. And so if we emphasize God and His love and the person of Jesus Christ, tongues is in there. The baptism of the Spirit's in there. But that was a false foundation because, hear me, the early church, they got saved, water baptized, and filled with the Spirit of God on the first day or shortly after that. And so it's an incomplete foundation. And that's why Paul warned, he said, there's only one foundation that can be laid, and it's Christ Jesus. So Jesus is the foundation. And any group that has another foundation, they're off. And so you've got Pentecostals speaking in tongues and no power, speaking in tongues opposing the prophetic, speaking in tongues and don't believe in faith or healing. And you got Baptist people that are against all of that. So you see, I come from a Southern Baptist family. We didn't believe in it, but that was our background. Hallelujah. And I had a great aunt. Imagine this. When I got saved, I thought I'm the first of, you know, among the roost. And then I found out I had a great aunt that made a covenant with God that God would raise up preachers in our family. Hallelujah. Somewhere in Mississippi. God only knows where she's buried. Hallelujah. But it's a powerful thing when people break out of religion in all its different forms into the reality of Jesus. Amen. And so here tonight, I want us to see in 1 John that John, the beloved disciple, was writing to a people, and he was admonishing them that what made them so legit is that they had seen him, they'd heard him, they'd looked upon him. Now, let's look at this for a minute, what this exactly means. All right, we go here. That which from the beginning which we've heard, revelation. God let them hear what others couldn't hear. I said, God let them hear what others couldn't hear. That's revelation. Because when Paul was converted, he heard what no one else heard there. And if you compare Scripture with Scripture, it says everybody heard, but in the original Greek, it says they couldn't make out the sounds. Amen? Only Paul could make out the sounds. Amen? And so we hear, kids, pay attention over here, right here, first line, first rope, pay attention. Thank you. I used to be a school teacher, so I pulled the rope there. Hallelujah. But I want to say this. God wants us to have revelation. Do you want to have revelation in this generation? Now, phones going off like that is demonic. I hope you understand that. Particularly when mine did once. I almost smashed a cell phone. Hallelujah. It was mine. When it right in the most important part, getting ready for the altar call. Bam, 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 bam. Anyhow, it's kind of bad for revelation. But that which was from the beginning, which we've heard, revelation. I thank God we can hear what others can't hear. Blessed are your ears, Jesus said. We've got blessed ears. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And I want my hearing to be improved. In other words, I'm tapping into real revelation. Not false revelation. I was in some place, it was tragic. The guy had about 15, 20 people, and he told me, God told him he's going to have 10,000. He wasn't hearing from God. That was just soulish delusion. I've had other people, this was one of the craziest things, because we got to know what is revelation and what isn't revelation, particularly in this hour. She said she was pregnant, and I said, you're pregnant? Yeah. I said, that's a little hard to believe since you've had a hysterectomy, but what are you pregnant with? She looked at me like I was an idiot, and she said, the two end-time witnesses of the book of Revelation. It goes from bad to worse. She went to the hospital when all these crazy things were going on in her body, and it's completely counterfeit and demonic. And a doctor literally, this was in New York, wouldn't happen here, literally grabbed her and threw her out of the hospital. He was the one who'd performed the hysterectomy. But that poor soul, she got out from under her husband's authority, got out from under a pastor's authority, and she was called to be a mighty soul winner. She once won souls to Christ, not evangelist, but, you know, one-on-one anointed ministry. But she got out from under a covering, and she kept hearing things, but she wasn't hearing right. Now, I know that's extreme, but dear people, I want to have clean revelation. Do you want clean revelation? My God, I don't want to get on the wrong station. And that's why the Bible says, try the spirits, prove all things. I want revelation. I want to tell you, every Christian can have revelation. I said, every Christian can have revelation, including children. And that's why parental covering and church covering over children. I've seen little children pray for hours. I've seen little children have great authority over demonic powers in overseas. And so may we have a vision for the spirit of revelation to be poured out upon the church here and back in Camden. Hallelujah. The spirit of revelation. Because let me tell you, John says, the one we got revelation from, he was from the beginning. In other words, we're talking about revelation from eternity. Personal revelation. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. John wrote that, and he wrote this. He said, that which from the beginning we've heard. We've heard. I want to tell you something. You can't hear something secondhand if it's going to really be a major thing in your life. Prophecy can get the ball rolling, but you got to hear. And there's certain things God's never going to let anyone hear it for you. For example, who you're to marry. Say, I got a prophecy. That prophet's not going to have to live with you or her or him. That's firsthand. I said that's firsthand revelation. And I believe as a Protestant that the Bible can be understood by all of God's people. It's basic teaching. But revelation can be ongoing. And I carry a notebook in the back of my Bible because God said, if you want revelation, write it down. And so I have hundreds of pages of notes that God spoke to me that I've never preached because it's not for you, it's for me. In other words, if I'm not built up, how can I build you up? And revelation is God simply opening our ears to hear His voice and to hear me. The Word of God is the voice of God in written form. You know, like that tragedy with that woman who got off like that. She was tapped into the wrong station, got out from under God's order, God's protective realms of authority. And whenever someone's under a religious devil, you can't talk to them because they're right and everybody else is wrong. May the Holy Spirit give us pure revelation and strong revelation and ongoing deep revelation, because I want to tell you something. God wants to speak to His people. Revelation. So here was John. Revelation. And notice this. Which we've seen with our eyes. Here was personal vision. Now, I know people teach, and I've taught, without a vision you perish, and talking about the vision of a church and your place in the vision of a church. But then that's right, and that's biblical. But let me go beyond that. What is your vision of Jesus? What is your vision of Jesus? Because here was John, the closest of Jesus' disciple. He said, we got revelation, and we also got personal vision. And the reason these men did such great things for God in their generation, they had a deep vision of the Lord. They just didn't say, hi, how are you? They walked with Him, but they came into a deep awareness of who the Lord was. They had a personal vision of Jesus. Now, here's the good news. You don't find God. Somebody gets up, I found the Lord. Well, I know what they're saying. They're just saying it wrong. You don't find the Lord. God finds you. Are you glad He found us? And He got the lower end of the stick. Hallelujah. It's grace that we're saved by faith. It's not of ourselves. It's a gift of God 100%. But having said that, God found us, and He didn't find us to keep us in the level of spirituality we're at now or were then. God wants us to grow in our vision of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you study the Gospels, they perceived Him in a certain way, but as time went on, they began to see Jesus in a deeper dimension, in a higher height of who He was. And may I say this, there's a drastic need in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ to get a renewed vision of the Lord Jesus. America, this generation, needs a fresh vision of Jesus. Not the vision of their making, but the Jesus of the Word of God. The Jesus who came into a deceived, broken world and changed everything. Hallelujah. Now, to give you good news, because there's enough bad news out there, I am a student of history. I have thousands of books in my home that I hope one day I don't come back from a trip and half of them are gone from my wife. Hallelujah. Because she'd like a lot of them gone. But anyhow, I study history. And may I say, compared to other times in history, things are very good now. We need to understand it, because if you just have a myopic view, this type of view of history, you think the world's coming to an end. But hear me, in the Second World War, there were tens of millions of people killed all over the world. That's not going on now. And communism killed, in 70 years, over 100, maybe 150 million people. And Islam, from its beginning to now, has killed over 100 million people. And when the Tartars, the Muslims from Mongolia, came into Russia, they would kill whole cities, 250,000 people, men, women, and children, at a given time. I mean, we need to study history. Otherwise, we can get so absorbed with bad news, we fail to see the good news in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm not going to get poisoned. How many hear what I'm saying? There's no president that's going to destroy the United States. Some of them have tried. But none of them going to do it, because God has a destiny for North America. Hallelujah. And we one of the ways we can impact that and make it happen, we need a fresh vision of Jesus. And may I say this, if you have a fresh vision of Jesus, you're not going to vote for some devil. Whether he be a white devil or a black devil or an in-between devil, you're not going to vote for him. Do you hear what I'm saying? Because when I compare someone with Jesus, I'm not going to vote someone who wants to kill babies and wants to destroy this nation. I tell you, we need to understand, because when you have a vision of Jesus, He directs your life. He directs your life. How many want a fresh vision of Jesus in this generation and do something for God? Because I want to tell you, people cannot see the Lord and walk as they walk and talk as they talk. Something changes in you. We're talking lifestyle change. I have a friend, he pastors in California. He says, I can't believe it. Here's so-called spirit-filled. No, there's spirit-filled Christians sitting there, and they're voting for these people pro-abortion, pro-euthanasia, pro-marijuana. My God, what's wrong with people? I tell you what's wrong. They don't have a deep enough vision of the Lord. It's not coming to church and singing songs and speaking in tongues and then thinking like a heathen and not knowing the difference between right and wrong, darkness and light. My God, when you have a vision of Jesus, it dictates every decision you make. And my family broke racial barriers in Eastern Europe. We have the first African church. So I broke through racial barriers. But I tell you what I hate. I hate when people are ignorant to their own destruction. I said to their own destruction. And that when we have a vision of Jesus, hear me, we're not going to just be church people. We're going to be kingdom people. It's going to dictate the way we think, the way we walk, the way we talk. How many want a greater vision of Jesus? My God, He wants to, through His grace, open the heavens and visit us with a Holy Ghost visitation to enlarge our vision of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, why do you think the disciples would die for Him? Because they really knew Him. And that was Paul's cry. He said, I want to know Him. Not know about Him. Not secondhand knowledge. There was a guy being baptized in Egypt, a former Muslim, and there's a bunch of them, but they'd say, do you realize you could lose your family, your job, your inheritance, on and on and on, and perhaps your life? Yeah, and they'd baptize him. Then there came another one, and they said, do you realize, and the guy looked at him, yes, do you realize, he said, yes, and he said, wait a minute, he said, if you had seen him like I've seen him, you wouldn't even be asking me those questions. May I say this, to go through what we're going to have to go through to get America to its knees, we've got to have a fresh vision of Jesus, because it's not going to be a quick, easy fix. There's going to be some attack. There's going to be challenges. There's going to be battles we'll lose. But the war we've won in Christ, amen? But the way to keep in it and not burn out, I want to tell you, is an ongoing fresh visitation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And dear people, I want to say God wants us to have that more than we want to have that. Oh, hallelujah. May God let us see that our vision of Him will determine our work for Him. And the reason some people burn out is because they let this thing diminish. They don't keep their thrust, their vision, their focus, their desire intact. And you can get burnt out working for God. All these preachers that get out of the ministry every year and churches shut down. And some of them, they don't know how to war against the powers of darkness. That's a major thing. But beyond that, I'm not going to let anybody. This is a covenant I made with God as a young preacher. I said, Jesus, I will never let someone get between me and you. My God, I was speaking the other night about the kingdom of God. Acts chapter 14, it says, we must through much tribulation enter the kingdom. That's not an easy route into kingdom living. There's things that you'll face a lot of people won't face. There's mountains you got to climb that a lot of people won't climb. There's waves you've got to learn to circumvent that others will never have to come against. Because I want to tell you, the kingdom of God was paid completely for and revealed through the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's not a cheap trip in or a cheap trip on. It demands for consecration. Like David said, I won't offer to the Lord that which costs me nothing. I tell you, kingdom living is not church living. And that's what's wrong with a lot of the South. People got a lot of church and none of the kingdom. And that has to change. Because people can go to a building and be a rebel at heart. But to be in the kingdom of God, you got to have a circumcised heart. To be in the kingdom of God, you got to be under the authority of the king. To be in the kingdom of God, you have to honor those that he puts in authority. So may the Holy Spirit let us know if we've got a fresh vision of Jesus, there's going to be a whole lot of shaking going on. Hallelujah. Asked Ezekiel when he spoke to the dead dry bones, things started to shake. And to really be a part of a group that's going to advance in vision and advance in God himself, there is going to be a lot of shaking going on. Hallelujah. Someone says, I didn't sign up for this. Too late to desert. Hallelujah. I just thought I'd throw that out there. But vision, revelation, none of this is, which we've seen with our eyes and we've looked upon. What does that mean? It wasn't a one-time vision. It was an ongoing vision. Revelation chapter 14, it talks about the 144,000. And no, to my Jehovah Witness friends, that's not talking about them. Hallelujah. Because the word 12 times 12 times 12, it's the number of governmental completion. You have to understand, Revelation is is visions and symbols. Amen. And I believe 90% of it's come to pass already. I'm not in science fiction or the great late planet Earth. Hallelujah. I don't believe any of that. I believe in a victorious church. And I believe God has a kingdom plan for the nations. And I believe Jesus is not coming for a harlot, but a bride. Hallelujah. And I believe there's a lot of work to be done before the master returns, but he will return. Having said that so eloquently, I want to say this. These are they, Revelation 14, that follow the Lamb wherever he goes. I'm not just talking geographically, though that could have a part, but I'm talking spiritually, because if you look at the book of the Song of Solomon, in the book of the Song of Solomon, it's an allegorical, poetic book that shows the love between Christ and his people, and also the depth of intimacy in the natural and in the spirit. And when we understand the Song of Solomon, there are levels of interaction and there's levels of union. So at the end of the book of Song of Solomon, there's, I believe, 8 chapters. You get chapter 6, 7, and 8. Bible scholars and commentaries have a hard time depicting who is the groom and who is the bridegroom. Who is the bride? Who is the bridegroom? There's difficulty discerning who it is. You know why? The bride and the bridegroom became so one. And oneness with God, I mean, you don't have to look too far to see people who are one with the devil. Just dark and evil and wicked. But I thank God, by the Holy Spirit, God is working to make his church one with him. I said one with him. And only God can do it, because there's separation in our thoughts, words, and deeds from the Lord. But I'm glad for mercy and grace, which is ever working, because positionally, he prayed that we would be one as him and the Father were one, and they are one. There's no separation, never has been, never could be, never will be between Father and Son. But God is longing to bring oneness between His people, corporately, and then individually between Him and them. Are you glad there's ongoing vision? That we gaze upon Him and there's a continual work of God Almighty in our lives. See, dear people, the Christian life is not just a doctrinal life, though we need good positions there. The Christian life is experiencing doctrine and experiencing God, a heart relationship. When we have hearing, revelation, and we have vision, unfolding of God Himself through spiritual sight and experiential interaction, I want to tell you, we serve a God who is longing for us to understand, as John understood, we will never outdo our relationship, meaning our relationship with Him will determine our effectiveness in Him. Amen. Ongoing vision. Now notice. And our hands have handled the word of life. Sometimes I go in museums and I'm looking because I want to touch one of those old books or old antiques. A lot of times they have alarm system. If you do that, almost like your pastor's cell phone over there. Hallelujah. I thought we were being bombed in a restaurant one day. So loud. Bam, bam. Anyhow, there was a guy, there was a pulpit used by George Whitefield, one of the great revivalists of early America. And the guy was going to touch it, and all of a sudden, all these security guards started looking at him. So he realized, thou shalt not touch. Hallelujah. But imagine this. Here was John, the beloved disciple. He said, the thing that made us so powerful, we touched Him. What is that talking about? Intimacy. In India, they have the untouchable caste. They're considered so unclean and no one will touch them. But I'm glad God, the perfection of everything holy and good, would take on a human form, and the only one that ever took on a human form. Amen? And He would allow us to touch Him. It's not a distant intimacy. You know, I got some distant relatives, and I hope, no offense, they stay distant. Hallelujah. Because some of them can be real nasty. But anyhow, distant relatives. But hear me. I'm glad God desires to have no distant relatives. He, through the blood, has brought us to that place. We can touch Him. I'm not talking a physical touch now, though they did that. I'm talking spiritually. We can contact God. And it affects your spirit, soul, and body. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. How many want to touch the Lord? Touch the Word of life. That is, get into a deeper place of intimacy with Him and experience God and beget revelation. People, I don't want to just speak in tongues. I don't want to be known as a Pentecostal. I want to have the fullness, not fragments. Yes, I want to speak in tongues. And yes, I emphasize the baptism of the Spirit of God. But that's not the end. That's just the beginning. John said we touched God Almighty, the Word of life. The one who said, let there be life, and there was life. The one who breathed into Adam. John said we got in touch with Him. And you know what happened? Look, the life was manifested. Verse 2, we've seen it. Now, John, eternal life wasn't he received Christ in an altar. Eternal life is he got into what God was. Notice this. The life was manifest. We've seen it. Oh, my. And we bear witness. You know, the Mormons, who need to get saved. But anyhow, the Mormons, they talk about, they got a witness. Some fire burning. They got a witness. They got a witness, all right, from the pit of hell. But they got a witness. But I thank God we can get a witness from God Almighty that He is in us. And He is for us. And He's revealing Himself to us. Are you glad for that witness? You know, as a young Christian, I didn't know anything about what the call was, and I was a missionary. I didn't have the nice opportunity of sitting in a Bible school, because in those days I'd have got thrown out of all of them. But anyhow, I didn't have that nice opportunity. I wanted to, and God shut the doors. I'm glad He shuts the door and no man opens it. Hallelujah. You don't understand that at the time, 5 years afterwards. Thank God I didn't go to that place. But anyhow, I was in a meeting in Germany, and there was a Lutheran pastor who got filled with the Spirit, and they're allowing him to teach. And he was saying things, and I started interrupting him and standing against him, and the missionary later rebuked me. I was out of order. He said, bye, bye, bye. But you know what I found out? This man had come under a witchcraft spell and was living in adultery. So my anointing, and how many know, even before you know you're anointed for something, it's there, started reacting to what was in him. And I didn't even understand. But later it all came out. I thank God we can follow the inner witness of the Spirit of God. How many glad for the inner witness of the Spirit of God? And we can know, hey, that's not right. We maybe can't explain it with our mind, but I'm glad there's if we listen to the inner witness, something's wrong with that guy. Something's wrong with that woman. Something's wrong with this. Oh, hallelujah. It's very important we follow the inner witness, because the early church did. I was talking to an apostle friend of mine who has hundreds of churches in the States, and we were talking about an evangelist and a prophetess who used to go to world leaders, very powerful woman. They both died young with the same type of cancer. And I said, how did this happen? He said he believed, number one, they overextended themselves, but the second thing, they'd allow anyone to lay hands on them. I won't do that. But he said, when they're very tired, people would come lay hands on them. Can I bless you? Yeah. And you know, being sincere, but sincerely wrong. We found out afterwards Satanists were coming up and cursing them with cancer and everything. So the Bible teaches, you know, don't lay hands on someone suddenly. We got to know people who are ministering. Amen. So someone tries to lay hands on me, I don't know. I'll kindly most of the time say don't. Hallelujah. But I was in Russia just after I heard that. Now, I've only done this once in 45 years, so don't anybody get an idea. But I was in Russia, and I'm talking to a pastor after service, and he's here, and I'm here, and I'm turned this way talking to him, and I saw out of the corner of my eye, somebody is coming to lay hands on me, unannounced, unwanted, unapproved, and he's reaching, he gets about this close to me, and I'm turned like this. All of a sudden, it's like God came on me, I turned around and backhanded him, and he went about 15 foot through the air and collapsed on these chairs. And the pastor was, hey, and I said, be quiet, I know what I'm doing. It's just like authority came out of me. You know what I found out afterwards? He was into black magic and had come to curse me. Sorry, devil, ain't going to work. Hallelujah. The inner witness, sometimes you don't know why and what, but you're not going to get in that car because all of a sudden you find out there was an accident. You're not going to do this, and you find out that. You bear witness to this, and you do something. People say it's not right, but it's a supernatural blessing. Wait, see, we got to follow the inner witness. John talked about we bore witness. Now, don't go around smacking people. That's one time 45 years. But it was a God thing. You hear what I'm saying? We bear witness, and then we show unto you that eternal life. The early church didn't bring a doctrine. They brought God. They got in touch with the life that is eternal, because there's animal life, plant life, human life, but then there's God's life. I'm glad for God's life. And they tapped into God's life in such a way they could say, here is God, and reveal him. If witches can reveal demons, shouldn't Christians be able to reveal Jesus? Because anything they do is a lying counterfeit. But they said, which was manifest of the Father, we've shown that unto you, which was with the Father, was manifested unto us. In other words, the early believers, they realized that they'd got in touch, that God had got in touch with them, and they were one with God, experiencing God, and nothing would they tolerate to break that flow. For what we've seen and heard, we declare unto you. Their message wasn't mental. Their message was experiential. What they had experienced, they shared. Amen? I said they shared. They reproduced Christ out of revelation and vision that was theirs that they imparted to others. And that you may have fellowship with us and our fellowships with the Father and Christ Jesus. Hear me. Fellowship is we share God among ourselves. That's real fellowship. For example, how many remember the story when Mary got pregnant supernaturally?
Then she ran, she went with haste into the hill country to see her cousin Elizabeth, who was barren for years but had just gotten pregnant because God had opened the womb. And when Mary came to the door and said, "Elizabeth," the minute she said Elizabeth's name, the babe that was in Elizabeth's womb leapt. There's the bearing of witness. But you know something beyond that? Why did the babe leap within? Number one, there was a prophet in Elizabeth's womb, John the Baptist. Huh? But beyond that, the reason that baby leapt in the womb is when Mary showed up, Jesus was in Mary's womb. God came to Elizabeth in the person, in Mary, because Mary was bringing God there. How many understand? God was in Mary. When Jesus came in Mary, God showed up in Elizabeth's home. And hear me, real fellowship in the Spirit is when God comes to you in people. Let me repeat that. Real fellowship in the Spirit is when God comes to you in people. God sent me an 84-year-old intercessor from Israel, from the Muslim part of Israel, to teach me the secrets of the secret place, who had walked with God 40 years and God supernaturally provided for, and she raised up churches among Islamic places and Jewish places no one could in her generation but her, all through prayer. And it wasn't just what was taught, it was what was caught. Hallelujah. And God came to me in her. And I want to tell you, God wants to come to you in people, because that's real fellowship. My goodness, I've had other things come to me and people. Why not God for a change? Hallelujah. But that's fellowship, you know. And hear me, fellowship will make you or break you. If you fellowship, the scripture says, a companion of fools will be destroyed. That's Proverbs. See, that's pretty hard. That's not my words, that's his. So if you hang around with people that are unclean, antichrist, uncommitted, unsubmitted, and you wonder why you don't go anywhere in God, you got to break fellowship with that type of nonsense. I said, you got to break fellowship with that type of nonsense. You've got to watch who you fellowship with, because we become who we fellowship with. First, fellowship with God, like John said. But then, it's not just God. After that, who are you in fellowship with? You know, it's the reason some people don't grow is they're always looking, I'm talking ministers, people that don't threaten them. But I'm always looking for people that threaten me. Hallelujah. In other words, have something I don't have, or experiencing something I don't experience. I want to be challenged. Hallelujah. Not comforted. Well, I feel all right around that person. My insecurities, inferiorities, they don't manifest. That's the problem. If you don't hang around with people that got what you don't have, you'll never have what they got. Because true fellowship brings impartation, like Elijah and Elisha, Paul and Timothy, Mary and Elizabeth. When they came together, imagine this, they started to prophesy to one another. There's prophetic ministry 101, but hear me, there's also prophetic conversation. Example, I was with an apostle up in Canada, and he started talking to me, "You know, Bill, you can become a hired gun." "What do you mean?" "You just go from place to place and bless people. But you better decide to go from place to place, get in relationships for the long haul, and build, not just bless." It's the last time I ever went to any of his conferences, because I've been busy building when he has his conferences. But that was a prophetic word just in conversation. Do we have ears to hear when God's speaking? Not just here, but out there. Do we understand God, when we fellowship with people he brings into our life, it's meant to cause us to grow. I said it's meant to cause us to grow. And if we're insecure and refuse to get out of our box, we can stymie our spiritual growth. May the Spirit of God give us fellowship with the right people at the right time. And, you know, Elizabeth didn't go after Mary. Mary came to Elizabeth. That's the good news. We receive what God does in our life, and God will come to us in people. How many hear that? I said, God will come to us in people. I said, God will come to us in people. And we may not like the box that God shows up in. For example, I used to hate English people because I went to an English school in Switzerland. I was always the worst kid. So I hated them. Then I got saved, and I didn't hate them. I just didn't like them. So what was God going to do to come to me in a way I wanted him to come? He was going to do it through, imagine this, this was nasty. He was going to do it through an English prophet. And he spoke a prophecy over me. I told my wife, and my wife spoke back to me. We didn't think it was God. He said I was meant to go to Eastern Europe, to Romania, out of the blue. That's either God or flesh. I didn't think it was God till I went to a church, and the place was out of order, off the wall, but that doesn't hinder God talking. He spoke through a donkey in the Bible. There's still plenty of them out there. Hallelujah. But a guy walked up to me and said he didn't know who I was. He said, you're a prophet of the Lord. Imagine this. You're to go to Eastern Europe. And on and on and on. And years later in Romania, when God worked it out, who would I meet in the middle of nowhere but that English prophet? He became a spiritual father to me. And a lot that I have in the prophetic, he imparted. Do you want to grow in fellowship? Are you willing for God to destroy barriers and bondages and resistance and religious ideas? Are you willing to get rid of where you're of the limitations of today so you can have further breakthroughs in God tomorrow? You know, there's an old-time Pentecostal song, I shall not be moved. How many ever heard that? Well, that's maybe their mindset, but I want to move in God and grow in God and get out of that nonsense. Stop singing stuff that brings you into bondage. You see, they'd sing, I got a mansion just over the hilltop, and on and on and on. Always making heaven the goal and not realizing the goal in this life is the kingdom of God, not heaven. Heaven is the reward, but the goal is the kingdom. That's why we study the New Testament. Jesus brought the kingdom. And when, oh, we're just in this sin-cursed world. Yeah, but this sin-cursed world is meant to be changed by the church. We're the light and the salt of the earth. And when we don't have a kingdom vision, this world remains under demonic influence. See, I got that by walking with men that understood the kingdom of God like I wasn't taught in Pentecost. Because they had whacked ideas about the kingdom. That was going to be the thousand-year reign of Christ. In between that, it's just the devil's ruling nonstop. Hear me. I want to thank God there's been an enemy that's been defeated by our Savior. And yes, we have to learn to come into greater victory and walk in it. But one of the ways God does it, He brings us into deeper fellowship with Him and deeper fellowship with the right people. And I can't explain this, but I've been with people just hanging out with them. I'm talking about anointed men. Without any teaching anything, something rubs off. Amen? I mean, what would Jesus do? He would take his disciples with him. They'd see the miracles. They'd eat the bread that he'd multiplied. They'd be in a wedding where the wine ran out, and he'd say, let there be, and there was. I mean, they saw him in action. And you know what happened when they were with him long enough? They duplicated what they saw. Fellowship, God's type of fellowship, positive fellowship with people that have something positive to give you is going to transform your life. Therefore, I want to say this. There's no such thing as a Christian recluse. You know, I love Jesus. I just can't stand people. You know, like you're out on a hilltop, you know, and just like Elijah, you're the only one left. That's what the enemy wants, because hear me, if you isolate yourself, you dry up and die. And you're not called, I'm glad for this, I'm not called to make it on my own. You're not called to make it on your own. We're the body of Christ. We're called to make it together. And fellowship is the right people working with you. And you know what I found out down in the South? There's a lot of people sing, shout, go to buildings that don't trust anybody. I'm talking preachers. I've had people tell me, I never get close to my people. Where's that ignorance come from? Where the guy tries to dress like Zorro, a long robe and everything, you know. Where does that nonsense come from when Jesus lived with his disciples? Hear me. He had nothing to hide. He had everything to give. A Russian guy came to me once, a pastor. I said, if you're looking for a perfect father, meaning spiritual father, I said, go somewhere else. Meaning, I ain't perfect. Hallelujah. But no, he wanted reality. And hear me. If you're looking for people to be perfect before you go fellowship with them, or they're looking that from you, that's never going to happen. Hear me. That's why Peter said, love covers what? A multitude of sins. Hallelujah. And I get really nervous when I hear anybody up here or out there lift up their children or lift up their marriage or lift up themselves. If any of us are at a high level of grace, it is grace and not works. I tell you, anything in me you like, trust me, it's not because I was a good old boy and got there. God, by His mercy, brought me there. Amen? I said, God, by His mercy, brought me there. Are you glad in fellowship we experience the grace and mercy of God together? May the Holy Spirit cause strong fellowship to be in this church, that you're so one together, and the strengths you have, you share, and the weaknesses you have, you work out, and corporately you become a people that are intimate with God and intimate with one another. Because, dear people, Jesus wants to make His Word be flesh and dwell among you. He wants to form Himself in my life, in your life, in a deeper way than ever before. May the revelation of Jesus Christ, who John says, we heard, we saw, we looked upon, our hands have handled, God's life totally revealed in humanity, may our humanity touch the eternal life of God, and may our fellowship become blessed naturally and blessed spiritually until it becomes so supernatural that there's no divisions or schisms among us, but we stand as one man and stand for one another as the redeemed of the Lord. I said, as the redeemed of the Lord. When people don't understand this, as Christians, we become a part of the problem. I don't want to be a part of the problem. I want to be a part of the solution. For example, I had a friend when I was newly converted, and he was, that's for the term we use, African-American. We spent time together in New York City. And as years went on, I got in the ministry, and I said, whatever happened with Jimmy? He went to university and then got in with this, black nationalist group. And I think it destroyed his faith. I'm not going to get into any white nationalist group or black nationalist group or any other nationalist group. I want to be in the kingdom of God. I want to be the answer to all those things in humanity. You hear what I'm saying? And Americans need to wake up, because the only way we're going to take this country back is act as the redeemed of the Lord. Not like the heathens round about us. And I'm not going to take the bait. Let me hear that. To be prophetic, you've got to be in fellowship with God and fellowship with one another and have answers the ungodly can't have. And the day will come. It's been prophesied, but the Word of God teaches it. One of the greatest things that is yet to be fulfilled from prophecy is the glorious church. God is going to bring not perfection like the world would think of, but God is going to bring maturity to His people, and the day will come the ruling voice and the ruling influence on the face of the earth will be God's church. Amen. God's church, not based on their flesh, but based on the eternal one they're joined to. John saw it descending from heaven, and the radiance filled the nations. Hallelujah. Isaiah prophesied it, that kings will come to the brightness of rising. I want to tell you, our fellowship with Him and our fellowship with one another has a vast destiny we can't presently fully grasp or understand. But I'm going to keep looking upon Jesus. I'm going to keep connected in fellowship with people that challenge me. Amen. And I want to be open to whatever God wants to do, because this thing called eternal life is just that. God's life revealed out of eternity into time, to take us one day at a time into eternity. May your vision of Jesus grow. May my vision of Jesus grow. And may our fellowship with one another get real deep, so that the life of Christ flows among us and change, God's type of supernatural change happens. Because we must live as the redeemed of the Lord, who bring restoration, that you have a heart to take that young kid, to take that broken marriage, to take that broken person and put them back together again. Amen? One of my spiritual daughters in Russia, her father used to pull her hair out under drunken rage, under vodka drunkenness, drunk on vodka, rip her hair out. And then he left her mother and her for some younger woman, just crazy. She didn't see him for years, and she got so full of hate and then ended up getting pregnant. And then her mother called me from Russia with her pastor, and I said, God's going to redeem this. I want to thank God that girl calls me her father now. But beyond that, she's ready to be ordained as a youth pastor with her husband, and she moves in the Holy Ghost. I want to tell you, I want to restore broken people. I don't want to damage broken people. I don't want to damage the damage. And I want to stay in tune to the Eternal One so that I can bring His heart and His mind to situations. My God, there's such messed up people now. When I think of how weird some of this stuff is getting, because I live in California, but I want to tell you, God doesn't face these things like we do. God has a solution for the transvestite. God has a solution for the homosexual. God has a solution for people with multiple personalities. God has a solution for multiple divorces. God has a solution, and it's found in the one that was from the beginning. Our answers for time, hear me, are rooted in eternity. May God let us know that. I said, may God let us know that. May God cause us to press in and taste and see the Lord is good. Because that's how we're going to go to the other side. We're not going to the other side laying a hold of human wisdom and laying a hold of religious nonsense. We're not going to the other side if we keep stirring, you know, a boat with the wrong oar at the right time. That's not going to work. We got to row together because God's looking for a people that want to stop in realms of just gleaning from ungodly people, start connecting with the godly and strengthening one another in faith and love and imparting what you got. I'm glad there's a God from heaven who says His kingdom has no end. Hallelujah. And He's calling for a church here in El Dorado that wants to step out of the flesh and get in tune with eternity. Do you want to be such a people in this generation? Life was manifest and we bear witness. Pay attention to what's going on in the inside of you. And when the babe leaps within, realize Jesus has showed up. I don't care how great someone is. If something on the inside of me is going off like an alarm clock, I always step back and say, something's not right here. See, we need discernment. And I thank God the most discerning person in the universe dwells in here. Oh, hallelujah. I said, oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Praise be to God. I said, praise be to God. Oh, He has a plan that we would be they that follow the Lamb wherever He goes. May the Spirit of God pour out deep revelation upon you. May the Spirit of God awaken you to a deeper relationship with Jesus, because God, it wants to make all things new continually in our life. He doesn't want us to eat yesterday's manna. Amen. He wants us to experience breakthrough. Do you want breakthrough and not breakdown? Do you want new beginnings and old, not old nonsense? Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. You see, I didn't find Him. He found me. He found me in a Swiss boarding school when I was a 15-year-old demoniac into every sin imaginable. And my mother had gotten saved in a church where both of the preachers weren't saved. Only God could have done that. But then I got on her most wanted list for 5 years, her and two other intercessors, around the clock. And when He first revealed Himself to me in a Swiss boarding school in Stade, Switzerland, the German section of Switzerland, it was a school where fornication and drugs and alcoholism reigned supreme, and it was supposed to be higher education. It was the most demonic place you'd ever put a kid. Only thing I learned was foreign languages. They've come in useful, hallelujah. But I want to say this, where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. We better understand that in this hour. But I had a night, and God's my witness, when I was laying in a room. The windows were open. It was springtime, the time of when they prepared for harvest there, because they had like winter wheat and other stuff. And it was springtime, and there was a night in which a light. I didn't understand what the glory of God was. I was a pagan. I didn't understand biblical terminology. The only time we used the word God in our home is when we had the word damn with it. I didn't understand anything about God. But I want to tell you, you don't have to understand anything about God when God wants you. That's what grace is all about. So when I talk about grace and I talk about He finds you, you don't find Him. That was my experience. He came and that whole room lit up and I had a night-long vision. God is my witness. It started off with gates and these beings with wings going in and out of the gates. Those were angels, by the way. And then there were three crosses in the sky and there was light in the room the whole time. And then the end of the visitation, the Lord Himself was before me smiling. Hallelujah. It was a little hard to stay an atheist or an agnostic after that. Well, I left that school and went to a Catholic school in another part of Switzerland. Can you believe the first day there, there were three drug users in the school and we all came together, kind of like rats around cheese. But I was running from God. Have you ever tried that one? And we went to a movie one night. I was high on morphine. And I came out of it. The movie was in the basement of the school. And I came out of the basement and I started screaming at them, get out of here. And they thought I was losing my mind on drugs and they ran. And you know what? Right up in the sky were those three crosses. I want to tell you, God wants us and there's no escape. You can have heel marks all the way at the altar. You're coming. So much for free will. I believe in sovereignty. To that point, I'm a Calvinistic. No more, but that point I am. When God wants someone, He's going to get them. Ask Paul. Ask Jonah. So there I was, and that whole night I went into my room. I was still on drugs, but I want to tell you, God can come to you when you're on drugs. And you know what I heard that night? One of the only times in my life I wasn't yet saved, I heard the audible voice of God. And this is what this voice said. Go to New York Teen Challenge. The reason I knew about New York Teen Challenge, my mother, with her evangelistic anointing, used to put all these Christian books in my room, and I made a mistake. I read one of them. And the seed was sown. And I wouldn't listen. That was 16. When I was 18 years old, nearly dead, I was sent by the police from Belgium to New York Teen Challenge. God doesn't stop till we're in His will. He loves us like we are, but He loves us too much like we are, to leave us like we are. Amen? And He kept after me because I want to tell you this. The one who spoke about eternity and fellowship here, He wants us in fellowship because He loves us. Not that He's against us. But He's for us. And anything that keeps us out of fellowship with Him is detrimental and destructive. Are you glad for the love of God, the everlasting love of God, that He wants you in fellowship? He doesn't care what your sins are. That's what the blood's all about. He cares for you. And so that's just a touch of my testimony. I didn't find Him. He found me. I'm glad eternity broke upon time. And I'm glad in my sinful time, by the mercy of God, I stepped into eternity. And I'm here this evening because God brought me into fellowship with some of the top intercessors, top apostles, top prophets and prophetesses and evangelists, missionaries. Because one of the other covenants I made with God is said, Lord, I want your best. And you know something? God will honor that cry. Do you want God's best for your life? Do you want God's best? Or do you want mediocrity? Do you just want to get by? Do you want the very best that the blood of Jesus has for you? Because if that is your covenant with God, I want to tell you, He'll move heaven and earth to connect you to the right people and the right place and do incredible things because God can move in small communities just like He moves in big cities. May the Spirit of God give us a hunger for eternity tonight. And to be connected to the Eternal One, the Lord Jesus Christ. Revelation, vision, ongoing vision, intimacy, and then working it out with one another and those that God sends into our life. Because God comes to us in and through people. That's real fellowship.
in the Spirit. And just like on the Emmaus Road, may your hearts burn with fire when He opens you the Word. May true revelation fall on this church this year, because hear me, the Eternal One is going to break among you. Amen. 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 Are you glad the Eternal One is going to break among you? For this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you sent. See, it's experiential knowledge and relational interaction. It's not you receive someone at an altar. That's the eternal life begins in receiving Christ, but it sure doesn't end. It's ongoing knowledge, ongoing growth. And if believers understood that, there wouldn't be churches that are just collection centers for rebellious and religious people. The Christian life is ongoing growth. Amen? Like I said last night. Not this way, but that way. Amen? Spiritual growth. I'm glad this thing called eternal life that was manifested can be received and revealed to others as well. But here tonight, may your cry be to have revelation, that is God speaking and making things real, clear to you. May your cry be to have ongoing vision of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And may your cry be that this vision you have of Him grows and develops to a place that you have something to contribute to others, and God connects to you the right type of people. Fellowship together in the Father and Son, in the power of the Holy Ghost, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Yes, Lord Jesus, may we touch the Word of life tonight. Could we stand in His presence? I thank God for the wonderful blessing of knowing God, and yet it never ends. The more I know Him, the more I realize I don't know Him. And that's why Paul, at the end of his life, he said, my goal is to know Him. But Paul, you've seen the Lord, you've had this vision, you've had this experience, you've raised the dead, you've written a third of the New Testament, if not more. Paul, don't you know Him? He said, not like I want to know Him. I'm still pressing towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul wanted to know Him, and it was an unending quest. Blessed are they that do thirst and hunger. He wanted to know God. And dear people, may God break every chain, every limitation, every bondage that blocks your spiritual growth. If you get offended over nothing and stay offended, you're going to dry up. Don't let any form of bitterness or offense have you. You know, some people, they have a skin of a lamb and the heart of a rhino. No, you need the skin of a rhino and the heart of a lamb. Big difference. If you are easily hurt, easily offended, and then you collect hurts and offenses, it will destroy your spiritual life. It will keep you in a baby in the things of God. And God wants us to grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. How many want to grow in the things of the Holy Spirit and the things of the power of God and the things of the presence of God? May eternal life unfold in this church. May the God of heaven make the Word of life flow here. Yes, Lord Jesus. Resurrection life. God's kind of life. The river of life. The whatever it touches heals. Whatever it touches brings change. Whatever it touches changes communities. May the river of life come with great power to this city in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord, and every religious stronghold fall. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for a greater revelation of yourself. We claim it this year, a greater revelation of you. What we've heard, what we've seen, and our eyes have looked upon. Our hands handling the Word of life. Yes, Lord God. Yes, Lord God, stir us up and open the heavens over this people. For this is eternal life, to know you and to make you known. What we've seen and heard, we share with you, that you might have fellowship with us. May true fellowship
come forth in this church. Stronger relationships than ever before. Walls falling down, offenses being undone, pains being broken, hurts being healed, bondages being destroyed. May true fellowship in the Spirit activate in this church for the glory of God. We take authority over walls. We take authority over wounds. We take authority over heathen ways that would hinder and religious ways. And we call for the ways of heaven to break upon this church. Make your church one. We welcome the Holy Spirit. I said we welcome the Holy Spirit. We welcome the Holy Spirit. We welcome the Holy Spirit. We welcome the Spirit of the living God. We want the revelation of Jesus Christ, which you gave unto your servants. Father God, come. Give us a deeper relationship with the Lord so we can do more for you and your kingdom. Father, deepen our relationship this year. Let strongholds fall in Jesus' name. Let mindsets go in Jesus' name. Let unclean spirits be under our feet in Jesus' name. Father, in Jesus' name, increase our vision of the Lord Jesus Christ. Almighty God, I speak breakthrough over people's minds, breakthrough over people's marriages, breakthrough over people's lifestyles, breakthrough over people's thought patterns, breakthrough over people's prayer life and businesses. Greater victory over the enemy, greater authority than they've ever walked into. Such as I have, I leave here in Jesus. Let prophetic breakthrough happen in this church. Every scheme of the enemy fall before the King. Open the heavens. Covenant God, do a new thing.